Welcome to the In the Money Media special for Champions Day coming up at Ascot this Saturday. I've got the European team with me again, hopefully giving you a couple of winners and, of course, laying out how exciting the day is. I mean, some absolute stars are going to be lining up. Naomi Tucker here, of course, joined, like I said, by the usual team. Mikey Adelson, Alex Saucefield, if I say that correctly this time. Let's start with Michael. Michael, how are you doing and where are you?
I'm doing really well. I kind of messed up the times today, figuring out like when it would be on Dubai time, but I'm on a boat in the marina, so it's not quite a Starbucks or what was it, Panera, but it's close.
You never seem to disappoint with your locations while we're recording this. That is very, very fancy. Wow. Alex, have you got anything to rival this?
Not even close. I am on a back porch at a farm, and that's about it. But I don't
that
have
sounds nice
view behind me. It's not bad, but I don't know. Those buildings look pretty nice.
Well,
it's the marina.
I'm at home, unfortunately not in Europe, but attending Champions Day. But let's lay out for all the listeners what's in store on the day. We'll start with the first race on the cards, which is the KIPCO British Champions Long Distance Cup. That's a Group 2. And we were just kind of discussing this race beforehand. And Michael, let's start with you. You were highlighting it's a tiny bit of a rematch here.
Yeah, from the Prix de Cadre a couple of weeks ago at Longchamp, where Truchen beat Stradivarius pretty handily there on really testing ground. So in this race, it's going to be good to soft. So a little bit more of a underbelly of ground there that might favor Stradivarius. It's going to be soft enough for Truchen to stay in the race. Truchen won this last year. We're really soft going. So he is the horse to beat. And Stradivarius has lost this the past 2 years as the favorite. So it's definitely a race where it will determine whether or not Stradivarius has truly passed the baton over to Truchen as the top stayer in Europe.
You were mentioning that perhaps you can look further than those two top selections as well.
Mm-hmm. I would say if you're going for a price, a horse who's getting a weight break as a three-year-old, the Mediterranean is one to consider for Aidan O'Brien and Valley Doyle. They've done really well in this race with their three-year-olds, Kew Gardens a few years ago. It might have been four, but either way, they've won this race before with a similar type. And the Mediterranean's really well-bred, and he's progressive, so he's worth a shot at 20-1. But other than that, it's hard to see past the top two.
Yeah, well, that is the number 12, the Mediterranean. Alex, did you have a chance to look at this race, or what are your thoughts going into it?
See, I'm in a very similar camp with Michael, as I think the Mediterranean's the best value as far as a price play. It was interesting, it's tough to ever make a case against a Galileo being able to get the distance. A little bit, the dam side has a little bit more speed to it. I don't know if that's a positive or negative. I'm taking it as a positive. The horse has continued to prove that moving up in distance isn't a problem. This has always been one of my favorite races. I mean, when I really started to get into racing over in the UK, the battle between Stradivarius and Kew Gardens was one of the races that really got me. So I'm excited for this one.
Well, let's move on to the first Group 1 card on this day, full of top class action. That is the KIPCO British Champions Sprint Stakes over at 6 furlongs. And let's go back to you, Alex. First thoughts when looking at this race?
Well, it's a really competitive field. And one thing I do want to mention is, as well as the great racing, you can keep an eye on that Jockeys Championship as well. Oshin Murphy, William Buick, it's down to 2 at the moment. They'll be at Haydock today, but it is going to be really exciting. And as far as getting winners, I'm really, really interested to see if today's the day that Dragon Symbol can finally find the winner's enclosure. You can't find a more competitive horse, but you also can't find a horse that has just found, unable to find ways to win. This would be a good spot, has run well at Ascot. You could arguably say that the race he was DQ'd in was one of his best run races. So this will be, again, maybe the last chance this season, but a very live chance at that.
Yeah, he was definitely on my radar as well. Actually, one of my top choices in there. Like you said, finally get the win at the highest level after, of course, besting Capanelli in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot on that heavy 6 furlong before then being placed 2nd due to interference. I think the 6 furlong suits him down to a T as well. Michael, what were you thinking here?
I think he does have a big shot in here. This race is interesting because 12 horses in this race are rated between 111 and 114, and 12 of the 19 horses. So it's the most competitive race, most wide open race on the card. In that, you can find value. Ken Ross at 11 to 1 is a progressive type. Frankie Dettori picks up the mount. I was really impressed with his run at Goodwood earlier this year. He's a strong 6 furlong to 8 furlong horse. So basically, if it becomes a war of attrition out there, he'll pick up the pieces. And I think he's got a huge shot at 11 to 1. You have to respect Minzall and Creative Force, who are both horses who should see out a strong 6 furlongs pretty well. Gustavus Weston is a solid value at 20 to 1. But going back to Ken Ross, I think he's sitting on, you know, he's been a horse that they've always had really high hopes for. They were reluctant to geld him. They did, and he's come on really nicely since then. And I really just think that he's a group one horse, and he deserves a shot.
Yeah, definitely think that you mentioned a couple of price plays in here. This seems like a very, very deep field that indeed you want to start looking at those each way wagers, as we say in Europe. Of course, that's those show and play wagers for the US audience listening. I thought Happy Romance was a tiny bit interesting after finishing only a length beaten behind Emirati Anna in the Betfair Cup, although I do wonder if this ground is going to be to her liking in here. But just as a bit of a price play as well, 14 to 1, as we'll move along to the next group one on the card. That is the Kipco British Champions Fillies and Mare Stakes over a mile and about 3 furlong, give or take mile and 4. Of course, we have a heavy favorite in there, Snowfall, Triple Oaks Victorious, Epsom Irish, Yorkshire Oaks. But she hasn't really been at her peak in her last couple of outings. Mike, we'll start with you here. Is she beatable?
Honestly, I think if she returns to her form, if there's two ways to look at Snowfall. I mentioned this on Twitter where you have to look at her one of two extremes. Either keep lying through, she hated Longchamp and she just wasn't herself there, and she returns to her form in a big way. If she does that, she wins by 3 or 4 lengths here easily. Or she's on, you know, an irreversible form decline until next season. So to me, it's one of those two. Her season reminds me a bit of Magical. And Magical, as a 3-year-old, used this race as a stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup, where she finished second to Enable. I feel like 5 to 6 is really short on her, but she is easily the best horse in this race. The only one that has any value whatsoever, who should love every bit of this trip and these conditions, is a shot at 8 to 1 for Roger Varian and the Shadow Colors.
Oh, I like that. That's a good price play. That is the number 3, Ashada. Alex, are you on the Snowfall train or are you looking elsewhere?
I'm having a tough time looking away from it, getting back to that female restricted company. Obviously, it was a big step up for Snowfall. I mean, everybody expected her to be able to compete at that level. And I'm not saying she performed poorly, but I think getting back to that, this field is not super strong, but she really does tower over it. As Michael said, I'm not loving the price per se. The one horse that I think is a little interesting, just because I liked the effort when I saw it last time out, was Invite. That was the win the Stand Cup at Chester. Beat a couple of hard knocking horses, but I mean, again, it's going to have to take a big step up. And one note that I meant to mention from the last race, just a fun fact of it, Brando going into the 6th time in the British Champion Sprint. That was pretty amazing.
He's a great horse. He's very exciting.
Let's move along to the next group one. I do have to side note, I am with Snowfall. I'm not liking the price, but I do think she towers over these, as Alex just highlighted. So it's tough to look away in here as we move along to the next race, the Straight Mile, the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth II Stakes in here. And look, this, of course, is a race highlighted by Palace Spear, but you also got an unbeaten contender, the 3-year-old Baid, in there. Alex, we'll circle back to you, and then we'll get back to Michael. Where are you heading in this?
Well, the first point I want to make, and I'm really curious to get your opinions on it as well, is Palace Spear just the most underrated superstar that we've had? I mean, he really doesn't get the respect of some of these horses that are going into these, maybe, I don't want to say they're bigger races, but they're feature races on cards. I mean, the races that he won have been extremely impressive. I mean, the Queen Anne, the Jacques Le Mawa, the Lockinge, but they're not like the publicized races of a Champion Stakes, an ARC like that. So maybe he just doesn't get that respect. Maybe I'm wrong. It's tough to go against him. I know the market's been very competitive between him and Baid. This is actually a pretty competitive field outside of those two as well. But I'm going to stick with Palace Pier, but I'm really interested in Mother Earth. I mean, obviously, Alcohol Free and Mother Earth are going to be the two fillies in this race. You're going to see quite a disparity between the prices on them. I don't think it's that far off. The only difference is Alcohol Free is pushed into that open company and done well. Mother Earth has been on some really good form. I think she can run a big race at a really nice price. And then just to mention Ben Battle, because he's just awesome. And I don't know what he'll be able to do in this spot. It's a tough field. I'm expecting to see him back, if obviously as all goes well, back in Dubai, going back through a similar route, whether they take him to the Dubai Turf route, they take him to an Al Maktoum Challenge eventually. I don't know what they want to do with him, but to see him back after the win last time out is just continues to be impressive.
Like, this is an incredibly deep field. I'm actually very much looking forward to the QE2 Stakes. So I landed myself on Alcohol Free. I thought she was terrific value, 10-1. She bested Poetic Flair in the Sussex. Now, Poetic Flair then came back to nearly run down Palace Pier in the Jacques Le Marat. She gets back to a distance she likes. She gets at Philly an age allowance. I think she's very interesting in this spot. Michael, This is one of those fields that I'm thinking you must absolutely love, because it seems like there's so much value to be found.
Definitely. Sorry for any background noise. The wind is getting nasty. So the Revenants here had a really good race in the Daniel Wildenstein last time. His marks came back, his speed figures came back identical to last year. So... and he came back and won the QE2 last year. So I feel like there's nothing wrong with him at 10-1. I feel like he's the biggest value in the race. Alcohol, if you have to respect, she's going to love the ground and love the trip. But she's had a bit of a freshening. Master of the Seas is probably overbet here. And Baid, the jury's out on him. Palace Pier is the worst to beat, but I'm going to try to beat him. I think he's the best miler in the world. But he's lost this. His only loss was a bad loss in this race. So I'm going with the Revenant.
You're going with the Revenant. Okay, that's another 10-1 shot in there. Definitely one of the races to look forward to. That's at 3:10 local time. Then the final Group 1 race on the card is the Kipco Champion Stakes, of course, the British Champions Middle Distance. It seems a little bit like a matchup between Adair and Mishriff. This is, of course, another great race. It seems like we are just getting treated to some phenomenal shows, hopefully. Michael, we'll just circle back to you, and then we'll get back to Alex again. Who are you siding with here?
I think that Mishriff is the horse to beat here. I feel like he had 10 furlongs. He's probably the best horse on any surface in the world. But for a value, I'm going to go with Bolshoi Ballet in this race.
Oh, wow. Did not see that coming. That's okay. I like it. I'm going to have to stick with Mishriff. I feel like there's nothing he can't seem to do. Shima Classic, Saudi Cup, French Derby the year before. Really, really talented individual. Alex, where are you going in this final Group 1 on Champions Day?
Well, sorry, I had to move around because now I'm currently getting rained on. That's the perk of being outside. It's going to be a tough race. You can't go back to really any of the form from last year's event of British Champions Day and look. Yes, Mishriff was defeated badly, but every result that day was just very different. The ground was so bad that day that it just made you really can't take anything out of it. I do think I would take Adair over Mishriff in a very small margin in that way, but I'm going to stick with a horse that is a big price that I just for some reason can't seem to give up on. And that's Al Aasi. I was sold that the gelding operation was going to make a difference. I wasn't thrilled with the last race, but I do think it is going to make a difference. And the camp is just really high on this horse. They always have been. I think it's going to happen eventually for him. Maybe it's going to take a start, but I'm just going to stay aboard and see what happens, because I really think this horse is talented.
Wait, so none of you guys are aside going with the heavy hitters in here, both going with a price play. That's terrific. Alassi, I think I was just seeing 20-1 on him here. Best odds is what I can find. And then Bolsho Ballad, I do believe I just saw 30-1 if my page is, 33-1 actually, best odds that I can find here. That's the number 6, Bolsho Ballad, number 2, Alassi. I'm sticking with Mishrif. Just absolutely love him. Unfortunately, of course, the price is not as good. So I feel like I'm the boring, chalk-eating weasel that we always call everyone. But that will do it in terms of the Group 1 action. I think we've laid it out pretty nicely for everyone. But we'll go around again. Alex and Michael. First Michael, then Alex. What is the race that you're most looking forward to? Because this is quite the day. Michael?
I would say the champion stakes itself, because I want to see Mishrif run a big race. I want to see him give his the connections, the confidence to. I mean, I'm picking Bolsho Ballad as a value because I'm giving him one more chance to prove that he's not a giant turd. But I want Mishrif to run. I want Mishrif to run a huge race because I would love to see him in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think he'll win that. Mm-hmm. So, I think that he's been given a freshening with that in mind. They just haven't committed one way or the other. So that's the exciting
part. Oh, I would love to see Mishrif in the Breeders' Cup Classic. That would be an absolute treat. Alex, which race really gets you going for Saturday?
It's the competitiveness of the sprint by a mile. It's just such a great field, and it's so many hard-knocking horses that we followed throughout their seasons, throughout their years going through. I mean, yes, I mentioned Brando, Gustavus Weston. I mean, you have just horses from all walks of their life through good form as older horses, good form as a younger horse. They're all coming together in this race. And I guess that's what British Champions Day is. It's a culmination of an entire year of racing that brings to what actually looks like, going through the card, one of the best British Champions Day we have seen.
I couldn't agree with you more. You've put that very eloquently, Alex, because this is probably one of the best cards I've ever seen in one day. Absolute treat put on for us by Ascot. I'll be tuning in. The action kicks off at 1:25 local time. That is with the first group race of the day, the Kipco British Champions Long Distance Cup that we just highlighted before. And then we got 4 back-to-back Group 1 races who are all set to be a highlight in their own. They would be absolute feature races on any card. So I do encourage everyone to tune in. And I hope that myself, Michael, and Alex pointed everyone towards a couple of winners. So wish you all the best of luck. Thank you, guys.